Okay, again, this is Molly Marin. I am the webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. Just a few reminders, we have several upcoming professional development opportunities available, all free of charge, and more information and registration information can be found on our webpage at nysrti.org. A copy of today's PowerPoint and handouts, and you'll probably want those handouts during the presentation, they can be found on our webpage. I have the link right in the chat for you. At the end of today's webinar, we'll post a link to a very brief evaluation. If you could please take a few minutes to respond, we very much appreciate the feedback. And during today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. We are very pleased to have Dr. Allison Boardman with us today to present our Strand 12 series, Implementing Collaborative Strategic Reading in Grades 4 through 12. Today's topic is CSR Overview and Preview. Dr. Allison Boardman is an assistant research professor in the School of Education at the University of Colorado Boulder, where she teaches courses on differentiating instruction. She conducts research and works with school districts across the country to improve students' reading comprehension and English language proficiency in general education settings. She has written books and numerous articles on teaching reading comprehension. At this time, it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Allison Boardman.
Thank you, Molly. Welcome to the first of five sessions on collaborative strategic reading. I'm thrilled to be talking to you today from Boulder, Colorado. And just a little more background on myself. I started using CSR when I was in graduate school about 17 years ago, and I went on to work with teachers, and I worked as a coach. I've done a lot of modeling and co-teaching in classrooms. And quite a bit of research on CSR. So this is a training that's near and dear to my heart, and I hope you'll find it very useful. We have intentionally worked in a break between the five sessions so that those of you who are teaching will be able to try things out, and then we can come back and debrief during the next session. So I think that should be a nice way to just get a little bit of information, to go back and try it, and then we can talk about it and see how it goes and do some troubleshooting. We have a pretty small group today, so please feel free to type in questions as they arise. I'll plan to answer the questions at the end, but if there's something that comes up and I can answer it right then and there, I'll go ahead and do that. And we'll just get started. And the first thing I'm going to do is just do a little poll to see who I have with me here. So I'd love to know, the first poll is going to ask about your role, and the second one is going to ask your grade level. And that will also help me today and in the future sessions to be able to gear my examples towards the settings that you're in. Okay, terrific. So it looks like we've got a classroom teacher and some specialists. I myself was a special education teacher, and we are distributed across grade levels, so K-3, 4, 5, and one middle school teacher. Those of you that are K-3, you'll probably be adapting quite a bit, the things that we're talking about, but there's so much that can be done. And we can certainly have follow-up conversations about how to adapt reading comprehension strategies for kids who are younger. Thanks very much for those. I don't know how to get the polls to go. There they go. So just a little introduction. We're going to be talking broadly about what CSR is and what the purpose is. We will review some of the roles for teachers and students during CSR lessons, and then we'll go into detail about the CSR preview, the first strategy of the model. And before we leave, I will show you some of the features on an interactive website that we have created that has all free resources available to download. So anything that you see today, you're going to be able to dig deeper later and also to access and download any of the resources. Also note that on the New York State RTI website that Molly has posted, there are two things you'll be using today. One is a learning log, and the other is a text. The reading is called Earth Friendly Fabrics. It's helpful if you get both of those handy. We'll use them in about probably 20 minutes or so. Okay, so why CSR? Observations of classrooms show that little to no time is devoted to explicit strategy instruction to support reading comprehension. So Michael Pressley, who is a famous reading researcher, observed that students were prompted to generate the types of ideas that might occur to strategic readers as they read, but were not actually taught the strategies themselves, how to use them, or the utility of the strategies. So you can think about a teacher saying something to students after they finish reading like, can you please write a summary of the text we just read? Make sure it's a really good summary and it has everything that needs to be in a summary. But the kids never get the instruction about what a summary is, why it's important, how you write a summary, and so on. Over the years, this is 2006, so almost 10 years ago, not much has changed when we observe classrooms, although curricula has changed. So you'll see a lot of strategies now in reading curricula. But in classrooms, there still is not a lot of time devoted to, in most classrooms anyway, explicit strategy instruction about those strategies, and that is what we are talking about here. So I think I can't have a workshop these days without talking just a little bit about the Common Core. And these are some of the shifts, some of the goals in the Common Core that are addressed when you're using collaborative strategic reading in your classroom. So certainly we have an emphasis on complex texts. And as kids become more savvy strategy users, they can actually access higher texts than they would be able to without the strategies. We have an emphasis on expository, nonfiction. We want to work on vocabularies and conversation, reading, writing, and speaking grounded in evidence from the text. All of the types of things that you see emphasized in the Common Core are features of collaborative strategic reading. And of course, CSR was around long before Common Core. These are important reading components for all kids, and they've been that way for a while. I think it's important to include our English learners. So if we look at these are English language development standards. These are from the WIDA standards. And even if you don't use WIDA, these are all standards for English learners that are really important to focus on in classrooms across content areas. So communicating, increasing academic language, being able to talk to kids about what they're learning, having environments that are comfortable and low stakes so kids can hear a lot of different models of language. These are all very important for English learners across the curriculum. And here we have the model, CSR. I probably could have asked in the poll how many people are familiar with CSR, but I will just briefly run through the strategies, and then I'm going to show you a short video. It's about 6 minutes long. It's kind of a commercial, and it goes through and just gives you a feel for how the strategies work together. So the main thing from the slide I have here to notice is there are strategies that occur before, during, and after reading. And I hope that those of you that are looking at these right now might think to yourselves, well, gee, this is nothing new. I already know about all of these. And the truth is we haven't invented anything new with CSR, and I think that's the good news. What is perhaps different from the way some teachers are used to teaching is that we have put these tried and true strategies together in a model that can be used again and again with students in different content areas. So kids become familiar with the model, they can practice the strategies, they can go deeper to access more and more challenging text and content, and it also becomes familiar for teachers. So you know that on a CSR day, there is going to be some lesson planning, but it's not going to be something new every single time. And here we have our CSR in action video. So again, this is the video. Just see what you notice. See what kinds of things you might like to see more of in your classroom or in the classrooms in your school.
Collaborative strategic reading's unique approach becomes evident when you see what happens in the classroom. Students work together in small, collaborative groups. Each student is assigned an expert role and is in charge of guiding his or her group through a portion of CSR. Students read a text, apply CSR strategies, and learn content. CSR is divided into before, during, and after reading strategies. Before reading, the teacher and students preview the text together to activate background knowledge, make connections between the day's topic and prior learning, and predict what might be learned. First, students read the title, subtitles, and keywords to learn about the passage. Next, students brainstorm what they already know about the topic and share their ideas with their classmates. Finally, students make predictions of what they think they will learn from reading the passage.
What do you think we're going to learn about today? I gave you two sentence starters to help you out. I think we're going to read about, or I think we're going to learn that. Or if you have your own sentence starter, that would be fine.
I predict I will learn how and why the boat carrying oil is floating and spilled oil in the ocean because I read the titles and subheadings to find out.
Students use learning logs to guide them through the CSR process and to record their ideas. Learning logs promote individual accountability and are used to assess learning and to provide feedback to students. During reading, students use a strategy called click and clunk to identify confusing words or concepts. When the text makes sense, it clicks. When it does not, it clunks. First, students read the passage and write down any clunks that they have. Next, students use fix-up strategies to figure out the meanings of their clunks. This includes rereading the sentence with the clunk and trying to determine meaning from the context clues, or rereading sentences around the clunk to figure out its meaning. Other strategies include looking for prefixes and suffixes, or breaking the word apart into smaller words they know, or looking for cognates, which are words in the student's native language that resemble the clunk.
Sorry, it looks like I lost my screen. Hold on a second, please. There we go. Go right from there.
Are there any words in Spanish that are similar?
Did you put in the sentence and then what?
Repair their clunks, they move on to the get the gist strategy and determine the main idea of a section of text. Students first agree on the most important who or what or topic in the section. Next, they each write a brief gist statement that summarizes the important information about the topic. The goal is to come up with a gist that is about 10 words. Students share their gist statements with their classmates. Groups sometimes come up with a super gist that takes into account the best aspects of multiple ideas.
They don't want to listen to their husbands.
They don't want to listen to their husbands anymore.
The oil spill lasted over 80 days, but eventually a group of 32 machines cleaned it up.
After reading, students wrap up. They do this by writing and answering their own questions about the important ideas in the text. They try to think of both factual and more challenging questions that require an understanding of the passage, as well as connections with prior knowledge. Finally, students review by writing down one or two of the most important ideas from the passage.
If I was a woman, I would feel angry, and I would want to speak up for myself and tell the man what I felt, wanted to change.
Okay, while we're going off the screen share, I will continue. So just to give you a little context about those classrooms, those were middle school classrooms. It's a little choppy on the video. You can go to our website later and watch it again if you had to miss some of it because of the speed. But we have one science teacher, the teacher that you're looking at right now. We also had an integrated social studies class that was an ESL content class, and then there was also a language arts class featured. So these are examples in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade of the ways that CSR has been used. These actually are all in Denver public schools with a lot of different kinds of kids. So these are heterogeneous classrooms that have students that are at grade level, above grade level, English learners, kids with special needs. It's a mix, and that's really it's important for CSR, and it doesn't mean that you can't use it in an intervention class, because we often have kids who are at a range of levels of reading and also in their ability to discuss what they read. We have a poll coming up just to help you think through some of the things that you might have noticed in the video. And I'm thinking it's coming out, Molly, the poll. Here it comes. So if you could take a second and vote, which aspects of the video would you like to see more of in your classroom? Okay. Is that everyone who feels like answering? Oh, a few more. Okay, more reading strategies and more productive group work. That's outstanding, and those are two of the things that we'll be talking about throughout the sessions. And one of the things I wanted to point out is the difference between a teaching strategy and a reading strategy. One of the things to note is that there's a lot of things that we do as teachers to support students' learning. So, for example, to support students so that they can work well together in groups, you're going to use some instructional strategies. One of them is going to be intentional grouping. You're going to be thinking about the different students that you have, who might work well together. You probably want to put English learners with kids who are native English speakers so that you have different language levels. And all of those are important considerations. Those are planning strategies. So those are not strategies for the students. Those are strategies for the teacher that will help students learn better. But one of the strategies we're going to be talking about in a minute, which is brainstorming. So brainstorming before reading, knowing what to do when you don't understand what you read, knowing how to ask questions to help you understand and remember, those are reading strategies. So I like to think of those as tools that are often owned by just the good readers and by teachers. And now what we're going to do is give them to all the kids so that everybody has access to the tools that good readers use pretty much on their own without really thinking too much about it. There's a lot of different materials that you probably saw in the video and that we're going to be talking about. So the online toolkit has those materials, but we have a lot of teacher resources. We have grading and feedback rubrics that go for working with the strategies and also promoting collaboration. We have a lot of videos of students in action using CSR, and many teachers like to show those to their students and also to look at them for themselves to see how kids work together. We have lesson planning templates, different kinds of tune-up lessons and intro lessons and a lot of different resources that should make all of this work much more accessible to everybody. The learning log, that is something that we'll be using today just a little bit, and you saw kids using that in the video. The learning log is really a key piece of the CSR lesson, and the reason is it helps every student be accountable for learning. Each child completes their own learning log in the lesson, and the process includes a lot of individual think and write time, and also time for kids to discuss. But in the beginning, you're going to be very intentional with students. You might even say to them things like, this is silent and independent thinking and writing time. You have 1 minute to write your brainstorm. And then you might say, now pencils down. You have 2 minutes to share. Everybody in the group shares their brainstorm starting now. So in the beginning, you're very intentional, you're very structured, and the learning log is one resource that's going to help you. It also becomes a nice learning tool for students. They can go back and use it as a study guide if they have a quiz coming up. They can use it as a resource if they're writing a longer summary or a paper. Certainly teachers use the learning log to provide feedback to students. And because the learning log always looks the same, it's a great tool for progress monitoring because you can go through and you can see how did the students do in October and November and December on, you know, one or more of the strategies. Another key resource for students are the expert role cards. So if any of you have used structured collaborative learning in your classrooms, you might be familiar with roles. And what's nice about these is they provide a lot of information for the students, both about the process, so what do we do first, second, third, and then also hints about how to use each of the strategies. And as we go through, we won't talk about the role cards as much today, but we'll be talking about them in the next session and how important they are to guide the equitable participation in all of the groups. So what we want is kids to feel really good about what they're learning and feel like they can lean in and really engage with text, but that they have just exactly what they need to do that. Another resource is something that we call a flipbook. It's that colorful spiral-bound notebook that you see in the picture. It has the plan for strategic reading on the front. It has things like the fix-up strategies that we will be talking about next time and question starters and different types of information that are very useful to kids. These resources are also available in Spanish, and many students, even in English-only classrooms, refer to the Spanish as just one more way to support their learning. One thing to note about these resources is you can purchase a class set that looks just like this one in the picture. You can also download the materials for free and put them in a folder for each student. So each student would have the resources that they need, the different sheets that are in that flipbook, and then they would have their learning logs. And when it's time for CSR, students can grab their folders, they have everything they need, and they're ready to go. So the spiral bound resources are fine, the flipbook is fine, but also just downloading and putting them in a folder for kids works really well. So let's think about the student goals. We want to increase conceptual learning and the acquisition of content knowledge in ways that maximize students' involvement. And that's really the key, is this shift from teacher as knower to student as knower. For English learners, we want to enhance language acquisition and increase opportunities to use academic language. And of course, as you know, academic language is not just for people learning English, it's for all kids. You need to learn the language of the discipline, and that's what academic language is, and CSR supports that. We want productive discussions about material that's tricky. We want kids to feel good about themselves and that they can do it. We want to provide access to the general education for kids who are struggling readers or kids with disabilities. So kids can access a much higher level of text in a heterogeneous or mixed ability CSR group than they would be able to if they were on their own. And that goes for pull-out classes also. You can get kids into reading materials that are more challenging for them intellectually, even if their reading isn't quite as strong. And of course, we want to improve reading comprehension. For teachers, we want to really focus on absolutely throughout the lesson increasing response opportunities for students. We want to increase student-to-student interaction, and we want to really focus on the feedback that we provide to kids. We want feedback that reinforces content learning, encourages high-quality reading strategy use, and promotes peer collaboration. And those of you that noted, you know, yes, I want kids to work more productively in groups, one of the keys is giving feedback to students that promotes peer collaboration. I'll just give you one quick example of that. Sometimes when kids are working together, a teacher will come up to a group and will interrupt the group and say, "Oh, read me your gist, read me your main idea," when maybe kids have moved on to another section or they're in a discussion about something else that's related to the work. Well, what the teacher has just modeled accidentally is interrupting. And the kids will then mirror that behavior. So what we see when we go into classrooms is the way that teachers work with the collaborative groups is mirrored by the students when they're on their own in the groups. So if the teacher comes up to the group, listens quietly first, maybe either sits with the group or bends down so they're more at the level, and then enters as a group member, rather than as the teacher and the knower of information, that is a way that promotes kids to work together. And I have a lot more tips, but that's just one way to have you think even tomorrow when you go into your classroom, what are the kinds of things that I say when kids are working in groups, and does that promote the group work, or does that inadvertently interrupt what kids are doing? Another key piece, it looks like the bottom of our slide is cut off, but not to worry, is text selection. There are so many wonderful reasons why kids read and why teachers have students read in school. You want to make sure that your purpose for reading during a CSR lesson is to understand text. So, for example, if your purpose for the day really is to identify idioms or figurative language, that might not be the best day for CSR, because with a CSR text, you really want kids to be trying to pull together main ideas, synthesize, remember, and understand what they read. And it's hard to do that if you have a different goal in mind than reading comprehension. It's also difficult to do things like summarize and come up with main ideas when you have texts that are just full of lists. So those might be interesting, they are important, but they may not lend themselves to CSR. So you want to pre-read your text and really think about the purpose for the day. CSR was primarily designed to be used with expository text, though many teachers have used CSR very, very wonderfully with novels, with poems, and with other types of text that you wouldn't think of right away, but just know that it's a great way to access that challenging nonfiction text that's such a big emphasis now. Initially, you want to select the reading material that is conducive to strategy application. So if you're focusing on main ideas, for example, you want texts that don't just list a lot of information. If you want kids to be able to figure out unknown words, you want a text that has enough difficult words and ideas that kids are going to have to struggle through it a little bit to figure them out. If you want kids to talk about text, it has to be interesting. It has to be meaningful. Some of the textbook readings that we have, it's hard to get a good discussion going because it's a little bit boring. The information isn't that interesting. So if we're thinking about really wanting to promote collaboration and discussion, we want to find texts that give kids something to talk about. And the last thing on there that's cut off is that in general with a CSR text, you're going to have, you can vary this, you can certainly adapt it to fit your needs, but if you can think about this as a rule of thumb, it would be about one class session, about 50 minutes or so, and a reading that you would likely divide into 2 to 3 sections. So this is the reading we're going to be using today. It's from, I think it's from Time for Kids from a few years back. It's called Earth Friendly Fabrics. And you can see that it has naturally almost divided itself with the headings. That second heading, Born in the Lab, begins the second section. And Clothes from Waste begins the third section. So this was a text that was used in a 7th grade language arts classroom with in a unit on Earth Day. So this was a unit that was integrated with science and language arts. The teachers were starting to work together to have more reading across the content areas. But this was the text the language arts teacher chose. And the unit's essential question was, how can we make choices in our daily lives that help the Earth? And what you'll see in the weeks to come as I show you videos from this lesson is that the kids really did find this interesting, and they had a lot to talk about while they're reading and trying to figure out how to use the reading strategies. And I don't see any questions yet, but if anything pops up, pops into your mind, please feel free to type in a question now or at any time, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. I'm using my wait time if anyone has a question brewing before we get into the preview. All right, we will move on. So it's time to introduce the first CSR strategy. And I've tried to set the stage by sharing student and teacher goals and some other resources that support students and teachers to use CSR well. As we go through the strategies in more detail, consider how you'll support students to be metacognitive when they're reading. So the idea of metacognition, as you know, is that we want kids to really think about their understanding, think about what they read while they're reading it. Students should know what the strategy is, how to use it, when to use it, and why it's important. In essence, we want kids to be savvy strategy users. And to do that, they really need to know what all of this is about. So we can't be the only ones that know why it's important to get the main idea. Kids need to be told and understand that. And the way I could think about it is if somebody walked into your room and they said, hey, why are you using this strategy today? That the student actually might be able to give a good rationale to the adult that walked into the room. And as I mentioned before, everybody uses reading strategies when text is challenging. So you can think even yourself, you know, you read through something, you get to the end of the page, you have no idea what you just read. You're thinking about your shopping list. You're thinking about your plans for later. And if it's important, you're going to go back. Probably the first strategy you use is to reread. And those are the kinds of automatic things that we want kids to do without even thinking. But the first thing we have to do before we really dig into the strategies is we've got to introduce them to the text. So some kids are lost from the lesson before they even start reading. So let's engage them quickly with a short preview and then let them do the heavy lifting of the reading comprehension during the reading. So what is the CSR preview? And I should say, by the way, that previewing is a strategy that most, many teachers use before reading. Again, though, with CSR, what we've done is we've put it into a short number of steps that you can pretty much follow every time you have a CSR lesson. You could change the order if you want. The order is not that important, but there are a couple of things that you want to keep in mind. You'll notice And so will the kids, that this routine is there, and they'll like that. They'll come to expect it. So you can see that it's short, 5 to 10 minutes. It really should not be a long, long preview. You're going to begin by stating the topic. Students will then brainstorm and write what they already know. And that's very quick, about 1 minute. Students then share with their partner or a small group, and this is essential. They share their brainstorms every single time. Don't skip that step. Then, if needed, the teacher might choose to build some background knowledge. You may choose to present some important vocabulary and concepts, and we'll talk about this in a second, but it's more like one or two key concepts and not 15 vocabulary terms. And then, before kids begin reading, you're going to state the purpose of reading. When is the preview used? It is used once before reading. The biggest pitfall to avoid, and I have been in hundreds of CSR classrooms, maybe thousands, and one of the biggest pitfalls is that teachers talk too much. This probably doesn't surprise you, during the preview. And if you teach everything before the students start reading, they won't really have much incentive to learn from the text. So the idea here is to hook them into the topic so that they themselves can learn from the text. Why is preview important? Brainstorming helps students access what they already know. It activates schema that aids understanding and memory. It helps students make connections. And it alerts the teacher to students' misconceptions. Another important piece of brainstorming is that students feel, as they get into this routine of CSR, and they are required every time to make a connection, and we help them every time, that they have the skills, the ability, even the motivation to do the reading. So when we get to brainstorm initially, some of your reluctant readers, no matter what you ask them, will say, I don't know anything. And what we want to do is keep expanding our questions during brainstorm so everybody can be successful, whether it is the most reluctant reader in your class or the person who knows everything every single time. Building background knowledge is important when students need a little bit more information, and it is critical that teachers do this. But what we don't want to do is get into a 10-minute, a 30-minute, I've seen 40 minutes of lecture, because teachers are afraid that kids need more information. And as you know, when teachers talk too much in that way, especially with younger students, actually, and especially with older students, kids just don't retain it. So you can teach your heart out, but the kids may not get that information when we're trying so hard to just give, give, give. Let them talk about it with each other and get it from the reading in a CSR lesson. Of course, pre-teaching key vocabulary is important. We want to use visuals and other tools to contextualize what kids are learning. We want to increase the number of exposures to those key terms, so teaching vocabulary as a pre-teach is just a little tip of the vocabulary teaching that you'll do. It also draws students to important ideas. So this is a fun little activity, and what I'd love you to do, please, is just take a minute, and in 1 minute, see how many of these blanks you can fill in, and then we'll stop for a second and we'll do one more poll. So I'm going to give you a minute starting now. Fill in the blanks, please. And you probably didn't have enough time to finish, but I bet you were able to get the first few. And let's bring out the next poll, please. And if you can answer, were your first fill-in-the-blanks parents, children, and infancy, or were they poultrymen, chickens, and incubation? Okay, so what we can see is that most people filled in parents, children, and infancy. So I'm wondering, let's see if we can move the poll. Can I move the poll out of the way? Okay, and there goes the poll. So this is the real answer, or these are the real answers. The problems that confront poultrymen in raising chickens from incubation to adult life. Now, one person maybe was raised on a chicken farm and was able to figure out or had been thinking about farming, and that's why she or he filled the blanks in that way. But most of us, here we are in a professional development session on reading. You're all teachers, or most of you are teachers. It comes to mind that you would put parents, children, etc. in there. And that's what kids do too. So the kids activate the background knowledge that they have handy to them that makes sense to them, and they don't always know what our goals or what our topic is. So one of the ideas with the preview is really setting the stage for the students so that they are focused on what the text is about and what you as a teacher are hoping that they will learn from the text. And it doesn't take 30 minutes to explain it, but you introduce the topic, they brainstorm a little bit, you're going to comment on the ones that are most relevant to the objectives for the lesson, and then right before they start to read, you're going to focus them again. And I could give 10 more examples of how important it is that kids really understand the context and the focus in order to get the most out of the text that they're reading. I'll give you one more quick example, and that is we take a bunch of people in a room and we say to half the room, you are going to read this next reading as if you were a home robber. So as you're reading, really be focusing on the types of things that would occur to a robber. Maybe you're going to think about the technology or the access to the street or the size of the windows so you can get your loot out of the house. The other half of the room is told that they are prospective home buyers. So they are focusing on things like how many bedrooms are in the house, what kind of layout does it have, perhaps if the elementary school nearby is a good one. And then they read the same text, these two groups, the prospective home buyers and the home robbers, and they take a comprehension test. And you won't be surprised to know that the scores are completely different depending on just this arbitrary context or focus that has been given by the researcher in the room. Same thing happens in classrooms. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to just take a few minutes to walk you through a preview. And we're going to be previewing the Earth Friendly Fabrics reading. So if you have it in front of you, great. If you have the learning log that was on the website, even better. And if you don't, just grab a scrap piece of paper and a pen or pencil so that you can follow along. Because what I'm going to do right now is model how the preview will work. And the only thing we can't do, because we're not together, is we can't share our brainstorms, but we'll talk a little bit about that. So if I were your teacher, the very first thing I would do is I would state the topic and connect it to the class content or curriculum. And I would do this by saying something such as, today's topic is Earth-Friendly Fabrics. We have been studying Earth's resources. Today we will learn about clothing that helps Earth's resources. That's the introduction. And then I'm going to pose my brainstorm question. And I might pose one, or I might pose two, it doesn't really matter, but what you want to do when kids are brainstorming is walk around and provide support to anyone who seems to be having trouble making a connection. And so you might start with a more content-heavy question, and then if kids are struggling a little bit, you might open up the lens to something that's even more accessible. So I might ask the question, what do you already know about fabrics that are earth-friendly? Or I might ask, this one's a little bit easier to access, what kinds of activities are earth-friendly? And if a student was still struggling, I might say, let's look around the classroom. In this classroom, we have a bin for recycled papers. That's earth-friendly because we can reuse those papers if they're not too soiled, or they can be made into more papers. Can you look around and see what else is friendly to the earth in this classroom? So that's something very concrete and very accessible. The point here is that all kids have something to share. So why don't you take, we'll just do really brief, 30 seconds. What do you already know about fabrics that are earth-friendly? Ready? Go. Just jot them down as many as you can in 30 seconds. Okay, and stop. And here for students, sometimes people ask, should the brainstorm be in a complete sentence? And that really depends on your class and your students. I've seen some classes where kids or some of the kids are able to draw pictures. I've seen other classes where the teacher puts sort of a bullet so the kids can do a bulleted list. And I've seen still other classrooms where sentence writing is a focus, and the kids are asked to write complete sentences for the brainstorm. There are other parts of CSR that must be complete sentences, but the brainstorm is up to you. So after you have shared, and maybe you said things like, I know that some clothing is made out of plastic bottles and reused to make fabrics. I've seen fabrics made out of hemp or other kinds of straw, and there might be other things that you have noted. But when you share with a partner or your small group, what you notice right away is that kids don't all have the exact same ideas, and so it's great for them to start sparking other kinds of information before they get into the reading. That also gets them excited. Ooh, here's what I know. What are we going to learn about today? And then depending on the reading and the topic, you will decide if you're going to take some time to build background knowledge. You might show a short video or show some images to students to help connect with the reading. Here I've chosen to just, I don't want to tell kids yet what earth-friendly is. I want them to really be figuring that out through this unit. So what I'm giving them is a little hint. Earth-friendly clothes don't harm the earth, and we'll learn about how that happens today. And as I said, you might show an example. The next thing is you might present, you don't have to do this, but you might present one or two, possibly three, important proper nouns or key vocabulary concepts. And a rule of thumb is that when you're presenting these key concepts, you'll never present them just with writing and words. You'll always use at least one other way to present the information, so either with a visual or a model or some other demonstration. So the word I've chosen is biodiversity, and if you have the text available, you'll see that I've highlighted it. It's very important to show students where that keyword you're teaching is in the reading, and a lot of times it'll appear more than once, and you can have them look for it so that they're ready when it comes. You could even read out the sentence where it is found. Biodiversity simply means the variety of life on Earth, And you can see from these two pictures that I have, one is the variety of life on a coral reef, and the other is just the variety of living things that we see. So we have a flower and kind of a butterfly or a moth, a frog, and a turtle to show that there's lots of different living things that can live together. If you have been studying prefixes and roots, you might also point out that bio means life and diversity means variety. One other tip for students is we don't want to ask students right away, does anyone know what biodiversity means? Because then we're getting into a conversation with one student, maybe a couple, about a word, and everyone else is really left out. So, and sometimes the kids don't really know the answer. So then you're kind of going back and forth trying to pull out this very difficult vocabulary term. Better is to give kids some examples and a short definition. And if you want to engage them, ask them, can you think of another example of something where we see biodiversity? So kids can give examples. That's a great way to draw them in. But please don't ask them to see who's the smartest, who knows what this difficult word is. We want to avoid that during CSR lessons. It's not usually helpful. And then we're going to set the purpose. As you read today, consider how earth-friendly fabrics can protect Earth's resources. And we're going to talk about that when we finish the reading at the end of class today. And that's it. That preview in a class with, you know, middle school or upper elementary kids would take less than 10 minutes. Probably that one was about 7 minutes if I hadn't added in all of the side comments. It can be very brief. And you'll notice that if you take too long in the preview, sometimes the kids get a little antsy. They're ready to get into their groups and get started. And I still don't see any questions, so I'm hoping we are rolling along. But if you have any, please let me know. A couple of things to consider with the preview. How do you decide which word to pre-teach? It's really important to think about what you want the kids to get out of the reading and what might stop them from understanding. So this teacher chose the word biodiversity because it was related to other things they were studying in the unit, and she felt it was important to understanding the text. In a social studies class with the same reading, the term sustainable development is very tricky. It's a key concept. It's discipline-specific academic language, so that might be a term that the teacher decides to pre-teach. Perhaps in science, you want to get into some of the more technical language about how these earth-friendly fabrics are made. In that case, you might want to pre-teach words such as molecules or polymers. And in a classroom with English learners, there are other kinds of words that might be problematic, like the word fabrics. That could be unfamiliar to English learners, and it also has a false cognate, fabrica, which means factory in Spanish. So that could be confusing to students if they call up their background knowledge in Spanish and it doesn't quite match the meaning of what's in the text. Also, depending on the students in your class, you may choose to pre-teach earth-friendly. It's possible that that particular term is so confusing that it needs a little bit of unpacking before kids get into the text. It is culturally specific. It is a key concept, and if you can't figure out what earth-friendly is, it's going to be very difficult to figure out what the passage is about. And what about this brainstorm prompt? I mentioned a little bit about it while I was introducing it just a few minutes ago, but one thing to think about is what question will you ask? So kind of the default brainstorm prompt or the basic brainstorm prompt is to ask, what do you already know about the topic? And that's fine. That's pretty general. And if you're not sure, you could ask that. But you could see how that question could be problematic. Let's say you're reading something about nurse sharks and the habitat of a specific type of shark. And if you ask kids, what do you already know about sharks? Well, you could imagine what they might brainstorm. They're going to tell every story they know about killer white sharks or different kinds of killer sharks. So in that case, a very general brainstorm prompt might not be as helpful as something that's a little bit more specific. But you do want to think of different levels. So in the another reading called The Merging of Humans and Technology, so this is all about how different kinds of technological advances could be taking the place of things that humans currently do. So in this case, a teacher had two different choices of brainstorm prompts. One was, what do you know about the increasing ability of technology? That's a little more content specific. And then one that allows a personal connection and might be easier to access. How can technology make your life easier? That allows the kids to make that personal connection and still make a relevant connection to what the topic of the reading is, this idea of merging of humans and technology. Two things to remember. Brainstorm is a low-stakes entry into the topic. Everyone needs to feel successful during the brainstorm. So everyone makes a connection to something they know, and everyone shares with a partner or group. And because they have written it first or even drawn a picture, and this can work in kindergarten as well as it works in, 12th grade, then they can turn and they have something to talk about that they have written. I have a couple of questions, and I will answer them. They're related to vocabulary. And then I'll go back just one more second to talk a little bit about the brainstorm. So is there a specific number of vocabulary words you teach? I would never, for a CSR lesson, introduce more than 3 vocabulary terms in one day prior to reading. Now, you might revisit them later. You might have students do more vocabulary work with them at another time. But if you start to give big, long lists of vocabulary, kids will not be able to retain it in time to help them with the reading. So think about the pre-taught vocabulary in a CSR lesson as supporting understanding of the reading. So another example might be you might actually just read through some of the difficult proper nouns that kids will encounter. You don't expect them to memorize them or do anything with them vocabulary-wise, but it is a way to help familiarize what they're going to see in the text. And another question is about students adding the vocabulary to a notebook or word wall. 100% absolutely is a great way to do it. So the thing we want to do with vocabulary is we don't want to lock ourselves in. So kids can, you can pre-teach or reintroduce a word that's already on your word wall. Perhaps it has another meaning in this text than it does, the way you looked at it the first time you introduced it. These can become very powerful and important vocabulary terms. You just don't want to overload kids before the reading. Those are great questions. And the last comment I'm going to make about the brainstorm is we often default to the whole class share. That's a teacher habit. We do it. Even when I teach my university courses, I sometimes do the full share out after kids or my students, sometimes graduate students, have talked within their groups. You need to make a decision as a teacher if it's necessary to do a whole class share. If the kids are sharing their brainstorms, they've got some good ideas, everything seems to be going as you expected it to, then just move on and get into the reading. If kids have a misconception or you hear some kind of a repeated brainstorm that seems off topic, you might then want to point that out. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about sharks that kill people. Remember, in the reading today, we are going to be talking about sharks' habitats, and we are not going to be talking about the ways that sharks can kill people. So that's a way to address a misconception. The other thing you can do is you can write down what you hear kids say, and you as the teacher can voice 3 or 4 or 5 of the brainstorms that kids have shared. It's quicker that way. And then if 5 students had the same idea, they've all just gotten called on because you shared their brainstorm. So there's a lot of different ways to do it without having to default to going back to the whole class and having kids raise their hand again. And really, that's it. That's the preview, 5 to 10 minutes. It's important to pick a great reading. It's important to get kids engaged. And then they're going to be doing the heavy lifting of reading and understanding. But just as a quick review, and then I'm going to show you what you'll find on the website for support resources. We're going to help students access that relevant background knowledge and make connections with previous learning and their everyday lives. We're going to build some background knowledge as needed. You might consider a more in-depth preview at the beginning of a new unit or a longer reading. So if you are going to be using CSR, for example, with a novel, it would make sense that you would do a longer previewing activity before you begin the novel, or even a new unit in your text or a new unit of study. We talked about the key ideas and vocabulary, maybe even some important proper nouns. We talked about kids sharing ideas with a partner during the brainstorm every single time. You will be so surprised and excited to see how great kids do and how their academic language improves as they begin to share these brainstorms every time. And you're going to provide feedback or clear up misconceptions. And always set that purpose for reading. So you want to remember the poultrymen and the parents and how important it is for kids to really have a good understanding of what the focus is for the day. For next time, what I would love for you to do in between now and when we meet again in the end of October is to log in to the CSR Online Toolkit and get some of the resources, and then try the preview in your classroom. And if you already do a preview, try the CSR preview just as I've presented it today, and then you can really reflect on, how is this different than the preview that I normally do, and which features do I like the best, and what seems to be working for students. The web address you see right here is toolkit.csrcolorado.org. And the first time you log into the website, you do have to fill out a few questions and everything, and that will get you into the system, and it will give you a password. You know, you'll create your password and log in, and then you'll be able to come back whenever you want, and it is free. You can also tell your teacher friends about it because anybody can use it for free. Once you've logged in, so this is what the opening page looks like. And you'll have to, as I said, answer those questions. But then every time you come back later, it'll look like this. And then when you log in, it'll go to your dashboard. And underneath, it starts right here with the CSR Foundations PD on the left there. And there is a PD module for each of the different strategies, and there's also one for collaboration. So you don't need to go through the whole module, because that's essentially what we've done today. But if you forgot something or you want to review, you can always go back to those modules. The CSR Advanced PD, once you've learned CSR and you're looking for ways to fine-tune your instruction, take it to the next level, what do I do with kids who are really struggling? What do I do with kids who are above grade level? That's what that CSR Advanced PD is about. And something to start with are the classroom resources. In the classroom resources, when you click on that tab, you're going to see all of the things on the left side. There are student materials, so that's where you'll find your learning logs, and you'll see that there are different learning logs. There are some that are a little bit more detailed and scaffolded, and some that we call streamlined that have a little bit less information. And these are all in Word, format. So if you wanted to change them for the specific needs of your classroom, you could do that. For example, if you are going to be using them with younger students, you might need to create more space for kids to write because younger students' handwriting takes up a little bit more room, as you know. There are teacher materials, so there are cue cards for teachers and other supports for you, different rubrics and ideas for giving feedback. The video library is an excellent resource that is really, really helpful. So that is going to give you labeled videos for all of the different strategies, and many of them have guides with them that point out the features that are successful in the videos. There are also viewing guides for some of them. So if you want to show them to kids and have them note what do they see, what do they hear, that sort of thing, what are the students doing, what is the teacher doing, you can use those videos for that. And the strategy intro lessons are helpful for many teachers. We've revised these over and over throughout the years according to what teachers tell us works the best. And currently what teachers have been asking for is just a little bit of information. The lessons are almost like outlines. How do I introduce preview or click and clunk or get the gist to my students? So the preview, I've circled it here. It has a lesson guide for the teacher. It has a PowerPoint lesson that you can use with your students if you choose, and you can fully edit and adapt it depending on the level of your students or the needs of your kids, and then there's the reading. So you can change out the reading, you can change anything you want, but those PowerPoints are there to help you. And this is what the preview intro lesson looks like. And of course, it's the shortest one because it's teacher-led. So most of the work is done by the teacher. But this one is going to take just a few minutes to introduce CSR to the students. It has the teachers we worked with when we developed these needed to use content language objectives, so there's one there. It's a little intro to talk to kids about why you read and why it's so important to really understand what you read and what all these strategies are about. It shows that plan for strategic reading. And then it walks kids through the steps to the brainstorm. They practice the brainstorm. There's the key vocabulary, the purpose. And then it ends with a reflection, just a little turn and talk. Tell your partner which part of the preview would be most helpful when you read. So all the intro lessons follow that format, and I'm hoping they'll be helpful to you. It looks like my PowerPoint got a little off here in translation, but essentially I'm asking if you have any questions. I realize that the preview is pretty straightforward. It's not so tricky. But if you have any questions about the resources or about CSR, please feel free to ask them to me now. And I'm hoping I'll see all of you on October 29th, where we can debrief, preview, how to go in your classroom. And we will be introducing the CSR strategy click and clunk, which is a metacognitive strategy to help kids know when understanding breaks down. And I have to say what is really, really great about click and clunk is it's often the kids' favorite strategy. So it's a really good one for them. They feel really great about it. And I'm looking to see if we have, Laura says thank you. Well, thank you, Laura. And maybe no questions. I am so excited for you all to give this a try and be patient with it. So preview, like I said, it's the quick one. And then after that, we'll really dig deep. But feel free to go into those into that toolkit and just look around. And if you have any questions, you can always let me know. In fact, I think it's the same picture you're seeing is on that toolkit, and you can ask me for more information while you're in there.
Thank you very much, Dr. Boardman. I'm posting a link to the evaluation. If you folks could take a few minutes to complete that, we appreciate that. And we hope everybody will be back on the 29th. Dr. Boardman, if you want to hang on for just a minute, I have a couple things.
Sure.